Ladies and gentlemen, Bucks fans, NFL fans, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, the King of Pasco County, the custodian of Canton himself, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, presents all the fun and all the action. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Opening game is in the books. I'm depressed as hell, Ira. I'm not surprised, but I'm depressed as hell. But how are you, Sage?
You know, look, I thought the Saints would win, but I really don't think the Bucks gave themselves much of a chance, which sounds an awful lot like 2019. Lee, to top it all off, on the misery index, I got clobbered in the opening week of fantasy football. I don't remember who the heck I played, but he had a heck of a week, and I didn't. I'm 0-1. The Bucks are 0-1. But, Lee, like Bruce Arians says, it's a 16-round fight. I will be back, Lee.
But will the Bucks be back?
Yeah, they'll be back against Carolina. If not, we're going to have one heck of a hard-ass podcast next week if they don't get the job done Sunday. Steve, you got to think they will. I didn't see the opening line. I'm thinking Bucks by 7. I mean, I don't know. Anybody know?
Well, I don't know what it is now, but I know that I bet it a long time ago at Bucks minus 8.5, so I'm a little pissed off right now, but we won't go there.
It was 8.5 because I remember Dr. Wink and Dr. Joe texted me this morning about it, and within an hour, it dropped a full point.
I guess Carolina didn't look so bad against Chucky's boys.
Well, there's a lot of layers to that, Ira. I'm glad you brought it up, and we've got a lot to talk about. It's not all doom and gloom, although it feels that way. And Lee, how are you holding up? How are you holding up after this loss? I can't just ask Ira. How are you?
I think it was a shameful loss. I think Arians did a lousy job of coaching, and in particular did a pathetic job of preparing these players. I don't want to hear about they had a short off season and Brady didn't have time to work with his receivers. What excuse can come up with Joe Burrow for that? Joe Burrow was trying to get a job when Brady was down here working out with people. Kyler Murray, he never worked with DeAndre Hopkins before. They had timing down. Bridgewater, did Bridgewater look so horrible yesterday? He was on a new team. So stop it with this needed time. Stop it with they had a limited offseason. Baloney. They weren't prepared to play mentally and maybe not physically.
And, Steve, I'm going to add one more thing. And, look, we all watch the game, and maybe you guys see it differently. But I don't know. In my gut, I don't think the Saints played that well. I just don't think they played that well. And they were in command for the whole game, basically, after Brady led that opening drive. I think the Saints can be a lot better than that. Listening to Peyton and Breeze, they thought they were awful on offense. Now, I'd like to give the Buck defense some credit there. They did play well. But look out, guys, because the Saints can play a lot better than that.
Part of the trouble here, I guess, is that we know how poorly the Saints have been at home on opening day. And no, they weren't sharp, Ira. They were amazingly sharp on special teams, which is always underrated. And there's a huge gap between the Bucks and the Saints. They may be worse to first right there, but you're right.
I'll tell you this. You know, we're talking. I brought up timing, lack of preparation, and all that stuff. Anybody that wants Trent Dilfer, by the way, is one of them. You know, it's going to take a while to get their timing down. I was screaming. Like, shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. How was the timing the first drive? I didn't see any timing issues there. I didn't see any kind of timing issues on that first drive. They looked damn fine that first drive.
Gentlemen, we have a new issue. We knew about special teams, and you know we knew about the inexperience of the secondary, and we knew the running game's a work in progress. But gentlemen, we have a new issue. And it's a 300-pound issue. His name's Donovan Smith. And if that's not the worst game he's played as a Buck, it's in the conversation. And I'm telling you right now, based on what Bruce Arians said on Monday, after looking at the film, and I'm glad he didn't make any excuses for Mr. Smith, I don't think it's going to take much for him to yank Smith out of that lineup. And he don't care that the guy was a second round pick. And he don't care that the guy got a contract extension. He better bring his A game against the Panthers, or Joe Haig is going to move up in that depth chart, gentlemen. He's not fooling around with Brady's blindside. He's just not.
Is Joe Haig all of a sudden Trent Williams?
No, he's not.
I see the comments on Joe Bucks Fan. I see the comments on Twitter. Joe Haig. Help me out, Ira. Is this guy all of a sudden, you know, the manna from heaven?
No, Lee, it's not about Joe Haig. It's about Donovan Smith. Haig's average. Haig's just okay. Otherwise, the Colts would have kept him. But Smith, Brady is looking over his left shoulder before he's throwing the ball to see if the right defensive end is coming after him. I thought Arians came up with a hell of a line saying he was facing the weakest guy, Marcus Davenport. Steve wasn't in the game. He didn't play. And Smith had his problems. And he didn't block particularly well for the run either. So, you know, that's an issue that let's hope that doesn't linger, Steve.
Absolutely, Ira. And what always lingers is the great prices, value, and family service, the one-on-one care you'll get at Bill Curry Ford, your sponsor, and our friend, General Manager Sean Sullivan. He is ready to help Bucks fans by phone, text, email. You can walk into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. And he just wants to help you in any way he can. And it's not a cliche. If you have a question about your lease that's coming up and you're thinking of getting a vehicle but you're not ready to do it yet, call Sean. Text him. He'll help you. He will guide you. Or if you're ready to buy now and you want a great deal, same thing. Joe Bucks Fan discount, Ira Kaufman discount, whatever you want to call it, Bill Curry Ford is there for you. They are just the home run hitters of customer service in the Bay Area. I would say they're the Ryan suck-ups, but we don't know how good suck-up is yet. So BillCurryFord.com is the website. Bill Curry Ford. Shop there now. The September savings are extraordinary, Ira.
Gentlemen, we have a game within a game on Sunday. And by that, I mean after my opening week setback, my opponent in week two is none other than Bill Curry Ford himself, Sean Sullivan. And to make it even more intriguing, gentlemen, Sullivan's roster is dotted with Buccaneers. He's got plenty of Bucks. And I got Leonard Fournette. I didn't play Fournette this week because I didn't think he'd be used much, and he wasn't. Didn't help me. I had Jordan Howard, who did nothing. But I'm bumping up Leonard Fournette because, in the words of Obi Kenobi Arians, Fournette's role will be expanded a little bit. I believe Sullivan has Ronald Jones. Let the chips fall where they may, gentlemen.
Just to clarify, you did have your ass kicked by Todd Wright in the Fantasy Football League this week. Todd Wright's Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, is twice a week at joebucksfan.com. A lot of great insight there. Todd is a proven, strong player. I had a glorious week, Ira, so I'm looking down at you in the basement. And I have Ronald Jones on my roster, Ira, and of course I didn't play him last week. I'm saving him for a special occasion or the waiver wire. So, Sage.
By the way, I won my bet with Derek Brooks on Tampa 2. Brooks picked the Bucks. I picked the Saints. He wanted to put lunch on it. I said, fine. And now, gentlemen, I'm looking for the best lobster roll in the Bay Area. Can anybody help me?
Well, of course, Ira. Brooks doesn't realize how much you eat. So it's going to be over under is $30 for that lunch. All right, Ira, listen, we have important questions here, and we're going to try to go in different directions, right? Because we don't want to be stale. We know what fans are thinking as far as all the hot talking points. We saw Brady come out not look that good in general, look a lot like Jameis Winston in his overall game. And I don't think we necessarily need to hit all those spots, but of course we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I wanted to run this past you, though. It scares me a little bit, Ira. Opening day, Jason Pierre-Paul plays 96% of the snaps. He can't keep up that pace. We're trying to save him for when the games matter, and he's got some chronic knee situations that he plays through. He's a warrior. 96% of the snaps, 88% for Shaq, 84% for Vea, who only played 2/3 of the snaps last year, and 82% for Sue. Anthony Nelson, Anthony Nelson, this guy who's supposed to be the backup edge guy and, you know, up and comer and their depth, played three snaps. And I'm just a little bit surprised and a little bit nervous that they didn't have more confidence to get Nelson out there a little more. And you can't ride JPP like a dog and expect him to be, you know, fresh in, at Christmas time.
Steve, no question that 96% figure is going to drop as the season goes on. Otherwise, he won't make it to week nine. But I'm a little surprised, as you are, about Anthony Nelson getting three snaps. Now, Lee, that could be an indication of how much importance the Bucs placed on this game. They don't want to say that. All these games mean the same. A loss in November and a loss to the Saints, same thing. But they wanted to make a statement, Lee. Instead, they left us with a question. But overall, Lee, the defense played well. I don't really have a lot of problems with the Buck defense. The run defense, again, stout. Just ask Kamara with his bruised body. Michael Thomas did nothing. Carlton Davis had himself quite a day. A couple of hiccups, but nothing big. The two linebackers were outstanding, Lee. Maybe the best Buck players on the field were David and White. And by the way, Lee, I think you're starting to be won over by Devin White. He's starting to look like a real football player. But going forward, and by the way, Lee, this was a big factor in the game. Shaq Barrett was a non-factor, and that's always a big factor. And correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but I think it was one of the two games against New Orleans last year that they absolutely took Barrett out of the game. I can't remember if it was the first one or the second one. So they've done a very good job on making Shaq Barrett look very quietly. I don't quite know what the problem was yesterday.
Then again, the Saints are extremely well coached. There's no question about that. Devin White, I've never been anti-Devin White.
Right.
I was just always pro getting a defensive end over a middle linebacker. I will continue to argue that. At any rate, he's on the team. I want him to do well. Water under the bridge. I was sort of underwhelmed with the defense. They did okay. Before we start throwing bouquets about Michael shutting down Michael Thomas, he had a bum ankle. He was playing on a sprained ankle. So,
well, they said they said he got it late in the game. Late in the game.
Okay, well, I'll give you that then. But, yeah, I mean, they did a nice job, but not nice enough. Looked like they were starting to take over the game in the second half, and then they collapsed late in the third, early in the fourth quarter. Right when they looked like they were taking over the game, then they collapsed. And they needed more pass rush. They could have done better, but they got no help from their offense. And while I'm thinking about it, I am just about tired of Ronald Jones. I really am. Ronald Jones goes out there, same old Ronald Jones. Wait, as one person twittered, Steve and I, this morning, that Ronald Jones are waiting for him to do his thing. Well, I've been waiting for him to do his thing now in the third season. Enough's enough.
I'm not going to go with you on that. I thought Jones had a decent game.
Typical 3 yards of run. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Ira, would you like me to blow my stack now at something you said, or should I wait till later?
Well, hold on. Now I'm trying to figure out what the heck I said. You can't argue that they made Shaq Barrett look small. Can't argue that JPP is not going to get 96% of the snaps throughout the season. Go ahead, Steve. Take your best shot.
All right. Well, first, the Saints did shut down Shaq Barrett both times last year in both games. So this was sort of just a continuation. We know Ramczyk on the right side there is a Pro Bowl offensive tackle. It's not that surprising that...
And Breeze gets the ball out so fast, Steve. He does.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah, I mean, they sort of own Shaq Barrett. He had one nice pass batted down, which was a big play at the time, and that was about it for Shaq. But Ira, I like the defense. The run defense was just like it was last year, suffocating. Kamara had nothing whatsoever in the run game. But they made some mistakes. They weren't very good covering the screens. They weren't very good in the red zone. And they made mistakes. The young secondary showed up. But what I have to scream at you about, Ira, is this Carlton Davis nonsense. Stop telling me Carlton Davis had a great game, Ira. You know what? He had a big penalty. Big penalty that was costly. And then later in the game, when he got beat by Emmanuel Sanders for a touchdown because he was late coming over, he got that face mask, which created the personal foul that created the kickoff that allowed the Saints the room to get a little funky and kick that ball that caused the Mike Edwards disaster. So he had two big plays where he had penalties and screwed up, and one even led to a third big play. So I don't want to hear it, because if you have a cornerback who goes out there and screws up big time twice a game and two penalties, you got a cornerback with 32 penalties. He's going to set a new NFL record. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Sloppy.
Now, Lee, to be fair, the face mask penalty allowed Morstead to kick off from midfield instead of 35. That part's true. Can't argue with Steve on that. But, Lee, are you going to directly blame Carlton Davis for the Bucks flubbing the kickoff? Well, why is that Davis's fault? They flubbed it.
Here's who I'll blame, Bruce Arians. But they're just undisciplined. It's an undisciplined team. They played undisciplined, and that is flat on the coaching staff. The biggest and the best. The biggest and the best. We keep hearing, oh, I got this great coaching staff. Oh, they're the biggest in the NFL. But, you know, come on. Start teaching some discipline. Now, I have seen with my own eyes, heard with my own ears, times at practice where Arians unloaded on people. Absolutely and totally unloaded on people. I saw him throw Alex Kappa out of a practice, get off the field, and he had a few colorful adjectives with that when he did a false start in a practice. So it's not like he's not cussing guys out when they do it, but for whatever reason, this is a pattern. The Bucs were the fifth worst team in penalties in Dirk Cutter's last season, when pretty much everybody gave up. You know that. Everybody knew what was happening halfway through the season. Cutter was going to be gone. We all knew it. Players knew it. And they had the fifth most penalties in the league. Arians comes in, they have the most penalties. Yesterday, they have, what, nine? And this is an ugly pattern. And that's on the coaching staff. And I guess to a lesser degree, it's on the people who are picking the players, because, you know, some guys, for whatever reason, they may be halfway decent at what they do as far as a football player, but they're undisciplined and they'll never change. Some guys are like that.
Lee, you're making a hell of a point, and then number one, that's why I wrote that Monday column directly challenging the Buck coaching staff rather than the Buck players, and Steve enjoyed reading it, and I can just see him say, that keep going, Sage, keep going.
Strong column by the Sage.
Steve, now here's a point that you guys are going to remember, and I think it's an important one. Let's look at penalties. You know, you can't just look at the numbers. Who used to lead the league in penalties? I'll tell you.
Raiders.
The Raiders.
In the 70s.
And the Seahawks when they had the Legion of Doom. And, Steve, you know what? They had a hell of a defense, a hell of a team, and they would win 12 games. The Raiders and the Seahawks. Why? Because it was a sign of physicality, not stupid mental mistakes. They were roughing people up, and they had the talent to back it up. Steve.
Bingo, that's it. They could overcome the penalties. Bucks can't,
and these are pre-snap penalties. They're unfocused penalties, and Lee's point's well taken. Steve, you can't lead the league, and then in the season opening, you get over 100 yards in penalties. That doesn't look good, Steven.
Yeah, and they're big penalties, and I'm what I was saying really on the Carlton Davis thing, Ira. He got beat and went to the personal foul, and so they got beat for a touchdown, and then the tacking on, the undiscipline, and it just leads to more problems. And, of course, that led to more undisciplined play by Mike Edwards, whatever that was. It's a problem. And, you know, Lee mentioned Alex Kappa getting thrown out of practice. Well, who blew the basic punt, a field goal block? It was Alex Kappa. Let the guy go right by him. And, you know, nobody plays a perfect game. There were a lot of great things that happened on defense. We all know the Saints are an excellent team. The Bucs might not play a team that good until they face the Bears, if you believe in what Mitch Trubisky did yesterday. The Bears are 1-0.
Steve, I sure hope we're having a different kind of conversation a week from now. I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. We all do, Ira, because it would be unthinkable to be 0-2. I told you guys months ago that if we go 0-2, if we lose to Carolina, then I've lost a lot of money, and you'll know that I may be in a mental institution, or my wife may have permanently.
Well, if this calms you down at all, Steve, Brady's never been 0-2.
Yeah.
Steve, you didn't weigh in on the Ronald Jones. I say you had a decent game. Lee said, take a seat, Ronald Jones. I don't want to see you. Where are you on that?
I just think Ronald Jones played kind of like Ronald Jones of 2019, as he looked like a running back who's maybe the 22nd or 23rd best in the NFL, and that's not good enough. So it's one game. They're a good run defense, but I didn't think he really did anything special at all.
Okay.
So I'm sort of neutral. I'm Switzerland on Ronald Jones. He had three targets for Rojo in the passing game, only one target for Shady McCoy. So much for throwing to running backs, Ira.
I don't understand. And Lee, to be fair, and we don't take any pleasure in saying it, Gronkowski, he looked rusty, Lee.
Did he? I mean, I thought he did.
I didn't see any quickness from him, Steve. I didn't see it.
He looked a little rusty, I thought. I've watched the game three times now. You would think that if he wasn't rusty, they would have tried to push him down the seam like he was known for in New England,
yeah.
You know, but it didn't feel like it was there. Maybe it's just rust, which is okay. That's what happens when a guy retires because he's beat up and he comes back with after a little preseason action. I mean, Gronkowski, I can give the rust excuse to the other guys, especially when you look at what other teams did around the league. Gardner Minshew, my buddy who we talked about last week, 19 of 20, Ira, for three touchdowns with a new offense.
One thing I did like today, the morning after, Lee, is I don't think Arians made a lot of excuses. I don't think he did. The one that surprised me, and maybe I wrote out of turn on Sunday night without looking at the film six times and seeing what people said, is Jamel Dean on the long pass to Jared Cook. Dean didn't look good on that play, but Arians kind of absolved him on the morning after. That surprised me a little bit, but he didn't pull any punches, Lee, with Brady, starting with Brady, Donovan Smith, Alex Kappa. He called people out, Lee, and it's kind of refreshing.
I love it when they call people. To be honest, they'll make excuses. I sort of wonder, and Arians is a sharp character, I sort of wonder if Arians was pulling a Bobby Knight. What I mean by that is Bobby Knight would take his star player and always unload on them. And he would, you know, after he retired, he always said that was on purpose. And the reason for that was, he said, man, if the other guys hear me going on Isaiah Thomas or Steve Alford or whomever, man, if he's giving that guy crap, I better get my ass in gear. And that was specifically, you know, that was a mind game that Knight would play. He was big on mind tricks. So I hope Arians was doing that, figuring, if I'm going after the greatest quarterback that ever lived, man, I better get my crap together.
I think that's kind of what Isbitz does when he unloads on me, Lee. He figures you'll get the message, DeCamp.
Well, I'll tell you this about Jamel Dean. I know where you were at, Irish Sunday, and you may not have been able to hear it. Troy Aikman unloaded on Jamel Dean. Unloaded on him. Said he was lazy on that play, and that was inexcusable. And all the while, Aikman was unloading on him. He doesn't usually unload on players that much unless they deserve it. And, you know, this guy's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He would know about cornerback play a little bit, you'd think. And I had flashbacks of Vernon Hargraves. You know, he got tossed because of allegedly serial loafing. Maybe that was why Jamel Dean, even though he had all these passes defended, didn't start too many games last year. I know he was hurt early, and he made a couple of screw-ups early in the year last year, but he didn't start that many games until way down the stretch, and maybe that was why. Maybe he has a habit of taking a playoff here or there.
Steve, didn't he also have that mysterious game that he didn't play or didn't start, and Arians would never really give a decent reason why, Steve? Remember
that? Yeah, it was ancient history. I mean, he played, and then he sat out, and they said, well, he's something like he doesn't fit zone defense or something. It made no sense. But that's going back to last year. A little love for Sean Murphy Bunting. I thought he played the best of the threesome back there and was very physical. You know, so I thought that was a positive thing.
And I think the rookies played well, Steve. I thought Winfield and Wirfs had solid games, games of promise if you're a Buck fan.
Yeah, Winfield less so, in my opinion. Wirfs, I really honed in on him watching the game. I mean, he's good. He's good. He really does a lot of good things, and he had Cameron Jordan most of the game, and he really played well. I mean, very encouraging stuff.
No question about it. But the O-line as a whole, Lee, again, I've said it so many times. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say anything else until I see more. Lee, very, very average. Very, very ordinary. There's a lot of money tied up over there. Draft picks, high premium picks, free agent signings. They, as a group, they're ordinary.
It's one or two things is going on with the offensive line, and I heard Scott Pioli. This is why I'm bringing up Scott Pioli. Scott Pioli was on CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ, where they were breaking down the game. And the first thing he said was, and this is a man who drafted Brady, by the way. And the first thing he said was, hey, I was confused watching this game. I thought I was watching Jameis Winston.
Wow. Wow.
And that's the first thing he said. Anyway, he just said, and I know Steve brings this up often, that, you know, the guy was in the personnel department with the Falcons for how many years? And Pioli said, there's much deeper issues with the Bucs than Tom Brady. So I'm starting to wonder if one or two things is going on. One, if we just have the offensive line way overrated as individual, if Jensen's overrated, you know, if Kappa's overrated, if Ellie Marpet's overrated, we won't talk about Donovan Smith because everybody goes bananas about Donovan Smith. That's number one, and I don't know the answer to that. I'm not in personnel. That's number one. Number two, maybe it's just lousy offensive line coach, which I don't think the Bucs have had since your buddy Bill Muir was around.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of them. They've had a bunch of them. There's no question about it.
A bunch of underwhelming. And let's remember, Joe, I can't think of his last name, but Joe, the offensive line coach of the Bucs now, he was in charge of the offensive line with Joe Haig, I might add.
Joe Gilbert?
Yeah. Gilbert, yeah. And Haig was with him in Indianapolis. Gilbert was in charge of the offensive line that got Andrew Luck maimed and run out of the league. let's not forget that.
Ira, you know, we had a rough weekend in the sense of all of that Tropical Storm Sally and us being on the outskirts. And, you know, all that rain brings water, and water can bring mold. And if you have any kind of disaster or you mold in your home that you see somewhere, maybe near the garage or behind a sink or by a shower, what do you do, Ira?
You grab your cell phone, Stephen. You get your busy little fingers moving. And you immediately dial up the head signal caller in this area, Florida's Elite Restoration. They're going to come out, no obligation quote. They're going to tell you exactly what the problem is. It may not be a major thing. And if it's not, they'll tell you so. But if it is, you got to address it immediately, because this is one area of the house that can get really bad in a real hurry. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Yeah, they will respond immediately. That's key. 24/7. You can call them. They're going to get back to you within 2 hours. They will walk you through the process and also get out there with their thermal imaging cameras, no charge, figure out what's going on. You want to call them before you call your insurance company and, frankly, get screwed. These are reputable people. We know them. Josh Martin, the boss over there, there is a small company, but not too small to service the whole Bay Area and to still give you personal attention. So they're just the perfect place to call for any time you have fire, any sort of damage, and their licensed mold remediation specialists. Get to Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And good news, Ira, you know, Florida's Elite Restoration, our buddy Josh, he is buying every single Buccaneers fan a beer at Big Storm Brewing Company for our watch party on October 25th, Sunday night.
Nice. Buccaneers
at Vegas against the Raiders and Chucky. And that's going to be, of course, all of our road games are at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, indoors, outdoors. Josh wants to buy everybody a beer. So how about that from Florida?
You know who's going to miss that watch party? Mr. DeKemper, who will be in a brand new Allegiant Stadium.
Maybe.
No, actually, he won't be in a brand. You know what? Kemper will be in Vegas, and he'll probably be watching from a nice fancy sports book with a nice craft beer in front of him.
If I'm going to Vegas, I'm going to be in Allegiant Stadium. If someone else is supposed to be in Vegas, and that someone decides not to go, I'm not going. Remember, the ball game is work for me, not playtime. So if I'm going to go to Vegas, I'm going to go to that game and sit down a somewhat empty press box and do my work.
And you might run into Chucky on the elevator, Lee. You never know.
and after the game, Lee will enjoy the fruits of Vegas in every possible way. All right, Sage, now we had a hell of a watch party hosted by our friends at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. just south of Ulmerton Road on 49th Street. Every road game, we're going to be out there. Indoor seating in their beautiful tap room. Outdoor, fully covered, comfortable layout. It's only going to get better there. They're finishing up the final touches there. And a lot of fun, a lot of beer, a lot of food, a lot of hooting and hollering. We're really, really looking forward to that partnership all through the season for the road games and the Sage out there. Nobody hugged you, Ira. Nobody sneezed on you either.
Well, I had the man, D-Zach, watching out for me, covering my flank a lot better than Donovan Smith did for Brady, I can tell you that. But Big Storm did a great job, guys. Look, we all three of us were there on Sunday afternoon. Poor Zach got there 11 o'clock in the morning. I strolled in about 2:30. Steve, you get there about the same time, and Lee was already there. They did a great job, and the construction was fantastic. They did it in an expedited manner. They're still not finished, but they did enough to open up, and everything was on tap, so to speak. The waiters and waitresses were fantastic. The food, I had the pulled pork tacos, and three strapping young men, and I told them I was going to mention this on the podcast. They ordered ribs. They were raving about the ribs, raving about the brisket. And then later on in the day, some guy ordered more ribs and saved the rib for me. I walked over, chowed down, asked for more. Absolutely not, Sage. You're not getting any more. But I will now have to delve through this menu because everything I've had there is fantastic. So next time ribs, and the time after that, Steve, it might be the brisket.
All right, now we got to remind everybody, Big Storm is about the beer. You can get Big Storm beer, their core beers, all across Florida, many other states. BigStormBrewery.com is the website, and you can find through their storm tracker where to get the beer. And, of course, it is just really top, top shelf. Big Storm, we love them, and we got some fun things going on there. Of course, we'll be out there next for the Broncos game two Sundays from now. Hopefully that will be a game to go 2-1 instead of prayer for the season. And actually, I was there at 11 o'clock with Zach as well. I had to maintain order. I got to be a taskmaster for Zach. Sage, let's move on.
Hold on. I want to stop the depressing because, Lee, you may not agree with this, Lee, but I saw enough in general on Sunday from a positive nature to give me confidence that the Bucks will be able to shake off the doldrums of a game one and still have a very good season. I'm not rescinding my 11-5 mark, Lee. And the defense, in my mind, played a little better than you're giving them credit. Anytime you hold the Saints to under 300 yards and you're giving them three extra possessions, you're losing the turnover battle 3-0. That's a factor. Their big guns, Kamara, did nothing on the ground. You know, he's going to make a few plays. Thomas did nothing. Breeze looked ordinary. So from that standpoint, I think Buck fans have to feel confident. And they did a hell of a job on McCaffrey last year. The best job anybody did. They did it twice. He did absolutely nothing against the Bucks. Mm-hmm. That doesn't guarantee success next Sunday, but I think it's a good place to start. Carolina's defense, guys, I'm telling you right now, we'll get into it more on our next podcast, but Carolina's defense is not very good. It's really young, really young. They got some young talent there, but a lot of inexperience, and I expect Brady to bounce back in a big way, Steve.
Optimism for sure, and we should beat Carolina. I've bet a lot of money on it, so I'm all in for next Sunday. And bottom line, Ira, I liked that Scotty Miller came to play, and you know, we heard about how Brady was going to raise the games of all these people. Well, Scotty Miller was one guy who really stepped up right out of the gate. And, you know, look, he was, what, a fifth-round pick and had some struggles early and, you know, had a few good games. But, you know, he really looked like a guy who could catch the ball in traffic and do all the things Brady wants him to do.
And Lee, you know Godwin's going to show up every Sunday. That is one of the givens of the Bucs. It's one of the givens, I think, of the NFL. Every week, just like Levante David, Godwin's going to show up. He's going to be ready to play, Lee.
Now, I had someone call me this morning who was a crazy Bucks fan, and he told me he didn't think Godwin did much after the first few minutes of the game.
Well, first of all, Brady wasn't that sharp, Lee. We got to have that as the backdrop. Brady was not particularly sharp. somebody asked me for a grade on Brady, I don't know what you guys thought. I'd give him a C minus. He gets a C minus from the Sage. And look, Evans was no factor. Godwin, I think, had five catches for 70-something yards. Not bad. Not great. But I'm not worried about Chris Godwin, Lee, and certainly you're not either.
The only thing, I don't know if it's worry is the right word, but something was going on in training camp. Remember when Aaron asked about Godwin missing two practices and Aaron wouldn't talk about it? When he was talking about everybody else. Everybody else, you ask him, you know, this guy didn't practice, he would explain in detail what was wrong with him.
Could have been a family situation. We don't know.
It might have been, but I was telling this guy this morning, and I said, you know, the first practice he had after he took two practices off, I just remember him being so out of it at practice. Like, they had like it was a Gatorade wagon, but it looked just like, you know, years ago when little kids had a little red wagon they would drag with them. You know what I'm talking about? You know, a toy. It was a Gatorade wagon. The same concept, only it was Gatorade spray painted orange. You know, Gatorade put it out. And Godwin was sitting on this wagon underneath the goalposts, just looking like he finished running a marathon or something. And granted, it was hot as blazes, but he just looked particularly out of it. And I don't know, what I'm saying here is absolute and total speculation. But I was starting to wonder maybe if it was allergy medicine. His allergies are acting up. Remember, he had still too much trouble. His rookie season, the doctors were fighting to find the right blend of allergy medicine to use that wouldn't knock him out and still pass a drug test with the NFL. The way Arian said, that's for me to know and you not to find out about Godwin, that's in the back of my head.
Steve, one little side note on those little red wagons. I used them religiously during my high school years because I had to carry other people's books. So it really came in handy. But the bullies picked on me. Those guys with the cigarettes rolled up inside their white T-shirts. Hey, Cal, nobody was calling me the Sage back then, Steve. I can tell you that.
Ira, who was the guy? He had a wasp in his wallet and everybody thought he was cool. What was that?
Joey Lobianco. Joey Lobianco. By the way, and I'm not making this up. I can't make something like this up. For all you listeners out there, my high school was New Utrecht High School in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. Bensonhurst, and the big rival was Lafayette. Now, who went to Lafayette High School? Sandy Koufax. Who went to New Utrecht High School? Buddy Hackett. That's the difference. Now, Steve, one more point. And again, you can't write this and make it up.
By the way, when you Google, it's BUDDYHACKETT.
All my listeners know Buddy Hackett. Now, Steve, my high school, New Utrecht, is the high school that you see on the opening credits of Welcome Back, Kotter. Welcome Back, Kotter. That was a show with John Travolta. Played Vinnie Barbarino. It's an old show from the mid-70s. Look it up, people. Look it up.
How long has Buddy Hackett been dead?
Hackett's been dead about 20 years, which is might be the last time you change your socks over there, DeKemper. Never mind that.
All right, Ari. You know, it's just one of those Mondays. I vowed not to overreact myself, but it doesn't mean you can't.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doesn't mean you can't be sad. You know, we know the reality is that the Saints were six games better than the Bucs last year. They might be the Super Bowl team from the NFC this year. It's a very strong club. It's kind of like I liken it over in Buffalo. The Bills were in the playoffs last year, and they have a tremendous defense. It's a strong roster, and they might be the AFC contender this year. And you got Jets fans freaking out and, you know, ready to fire the coach, and they might have lost to a team that's going to go 13-3. So you got to calm down. You got to calm down.
But, Steve, the Jets are not all in. The Jets are not all in, a la the Bucks. Look, Lee, the Bucks did this to themselves, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but they put all the pressure on themselves. They got a veteran roster with an old quarterback, and when you do that, the sense of urgency is paramount. I could understand some Buck fans flipping out, but it's the wrong thing to do. Lee, I still think this team's good enough to make the playoffs. I think they will make the NFC playoffs. I mean, Eagle fans are in, apoplexy. They don't know that. Dallas fans can't believe they lost Monday night. And by the way, what the hell was Mike McCarthy thinking on that 4th-and-3 when he's down by 3 points with 11 minutes to go. He goes for it, and he doesn't kick the field. I don't know what McCarthy was thinking about. I'll discuss that with the Mad Dog on Wednesday. But, guys, there's no reason this team should not make the NFC playoffs, regardless of whether they drop that opener or not.
Max Kellerman said this morning, he pretty much said the Bucs made the biggest mistakes of their lives. Brady's toes, he's over the hill. He can't do it anymore. They should have kept Jameis. And he ended his rant with this line. I want you to react to this, Ira. At least with Jameis, yeah, you knew he was going to get interceptions, but at least you got production.
I think that's outrageous. I think that's outrageous to turn your back on Tom Brady after one poor game. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't up to Brady's standards, not by a long shot. First of all, Brady didn't have a bad year in 2019. He had an okay year by Brady's standards. He still was highly ranked. He didn't throw a lot of picks, and he had no weapons. So, Steve, I don't think you jump off the Buck bandwagon after week one. You bury Brady after week one. Saints are pretty good, Steve. They got an underrated defense.
Yeah, of course, of course. And, you know, I believe Brady's had three multi-pick games last year and maybe three games where he just threw one. And, you know, usually these elite quarterbacks, they'll have maybe one or two clunker games a year, and then that's it. So let's hope that this is it.
You know who else was crowing, Ira? That Nick Wright character.
Oh boy, let him stick to talking about LeBron James over there, Lee.
He was saying all off season that this was a mistake by the Bucks. That though he thought Brady would make the Bucks better, it wouldn't matter. They wouldn't make the playoffs. But then he brought up this stat. He said, you know, Brady's got a boatload of stats to be proud of, and he's about ready to add another NFL record. He said, if he throws another pick six against the Panthers, that will tie an NFL record of four games in a row with a pick six with the immortal Matt Schaub.
Well, you never want to be in a sentence with Matt Schaub, Lee. There's no doubt about that. I'm not panicking about Tom Brady, and I don't think Buck fans should be either. Let's have a little bit more body of work with these new teammates, see where we stand a month into the season.
Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely. We got a big Sunday ahead. We got another podcast this week. I really can't wait to see. I'm going to give Leonard Fournette a pass for five carries for 5 yards. I mean, he was just there to hit the hole, and it didn't happen, which was a little bit disturbing, but we got a lot to look forward to this Sunday, and we thank Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. You know, you can shop at Bill Curry Ford on Saturday, buy a car, and then get a bunch of Bucks flags when they win on Sunday. You can just drive around in your new car like Ira does with his cherry red Ford Escape. He has a lot of fun. So Bill Curry Ford, shop there right now. Sean Sullivan is waiting to help you. And, of course, we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's where you go for any possible disaster. Sage, now, I know this is going to be, this is a futile exercise, I believe, Ira, but I'm going to ask you to dig deep and find some comforting words and some wisdom and insight and some really something challenging and that taps the depths of your brain from that high school you went to 70 years ago. Leave the Bucks fans with something inspirational as they get on with their week and try to make some sense of all this.
All right. Look, the Bucks didn't force a turnover against the Saints. Don't panic about that, because since the start of last year, Lee, and this is one of the stats that just bowls me over, Lee, since that's 17 regular season games, Lee, the Saints have beat giveaways. 8. The Bucks have 44, Lee. 44 to 8. Why is that a reason for solace for Buck fans, a reason for optimism? Because the defense will force some takeaways against Carolina, and Brady is a master at minimizing turnovers. And I think that's going to pan out during the season. And we said it, Lee, before the game. Don't read too much into the season opener. We've seen it all kinds of ways in Buckland in 2002, losing to the Saints, winning the championship 2018, going into the Superdome, winning a shootout with a backup, and then going 5-11. Lee, things change from week to week in this league dramatically. And the storyline is about to change in Tampa.